You may have seen an incredible story about the passing of a prolific blood donor by the name of James Harrison. He died at 88 years of age, and he had a rare antibody in his blood that's helped to save, it's thought, more than 2 million babies. To explain how this fascinating story played out, I'm joined by Dr. Andrew Godfrey. He's Medical and Scientific Director of the Irish Blood Transfusion Service. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. This is a really interesting story, but I have to start with some really basic stuff, if that's okay, and we'll get there in the end. So let's start off by just explaining what exactly blood is.
Blood is the red liquid that we have inside us that flows around all of our body, and it's with us right from the when we're first in the womb, from about 16 weeks of gestation. And it has a lot of key functions in terms of keeping our body going. It carries the oxygen that we need from the air round to the tissues that need it. It carries the water that we need, the salts and the electrolytes that allow our muscles to work. And importantly, it also carries the white cells, which are an important part of the immune system, all the proteins and antibodies that form the immune system, and the platelets. And those are the cells that help the blood to clot if we get an injury. So it's an absolutely essential part of our body and our makeup. And it actually is one of the organ systems. So when we think about the organs, we talk about the heart or the lungs or the liver, but the blood is its own organ system.
Mm. Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. And when we talk about blood transfusions, we're not really talking about all of that liquid, right? We're only talking about a specific part of it. Why is that?
So when we think about a blood transfusion, it's most common that people receive red cells because that's the thing that is most commonly low or lacking in the blood. And when we get blood in the transfusion service, we split this up, take off the red cells and keep them in one place because they're better stored in the fridge at 4 degrees. We take off the platelets and keep them separate because they're better stored at room temperature. And the plasma, the liquid that floats, that it all floats around in, that's taken off and frozen because that can be kept for a very long time once it's frozen. So we separate them out primarily because if you keep them as a whole, you can only store them for about 2 weeks before the blood's unusable. But if you separate them out, we can keep the red cells for about a month, the platelets for a week, sometimes a bit longer, and the plasma for up to 2 years, actually.
So there are different classifications. Before we go into the plasma and this incredible fella, there are different blood groups using this thing, the ABO system, that people are probably familiar with. Can you explain what the difference is between each of these and why they exist the way they do?
So the ABO blood group is one of many blood grouping systems. We've actually got several hundred different blood groups, but the ABO is the really important one that we absolutely have to match, and it's the one that we talk about when we say we are A pos or O neg. What we're talking about there is the ABO group, the A, and then the RHD group, which is obviously very relevant to this case. So the puzzle, the neg there is the RHD. But within the ABO system, there's a protein that sits on your red cells, and attached to that is a type of sugar. And it's actually quite important for the immune system that it causes a very strong reaction depending on the type of sugar that sits on this protein. And group A has one type of sugar, group B has another type of sugar, group AB has both, and group A has neither. So when we talk about group O being the universal donor, that's because they don't have any sugars that would cause an immune reaction in somebody if it was given to a group A or a group B person. But if you took group A blood and gave that to somebody who was group B, they'd recognize that sugar as being something that shouldn't be there. And they get quite a vigorous reaction to it. So we treat ABO compatibility as being absolutely essential in the transfusion world. That's probably the one thing that we never relax on.
Right. And so so there's A and B, O and AB, but there are other blood groups that are less common, right? If they were to have a serious accident, would they not be able to find a common donor? Or what are the other blood groups?
So everybody has an ABO group. So everyone will be A, B, AB, or O. And then they will have an additional set of individual specifications and requirements. So one of the others that we often look at is the KEL group, which most people will never have heard of, but is really important for a pregnancy, where if you're a woman and you might get pregnant, you don't want to have an antibody to a blood, something within the KEL system. And then there's hundreds of other minor antigens that we sometimes need to match, but for the most part aren't really relevant. So when we talk about the different systems, we think about the ABO group is one group system. The RH or rhesus, which is where the D fits in, is a separate system. So you can have any combination of A, B, O, and then RH. And then you've got all the others, the Duffy, the KEL, the MNS, the JK. So there's dozens more, but they're not normally talked about. They don't tend to cause problems, transfusion, in the way that the ABO group does.
Right. But the women who availed of Harrison's plasma, which, as you say, is the medium through which the blood cells, the red blood cells and white blood cells, they travel through it. His was very, very interesting because of this potential immune reaction that women may have during pregnancy, because they're carrying a child that has, of course, half of its genes from its father, and that can lead to incompatible blood types. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. That POSINEG is the RHD status of that person. And in Miss Harrison's blood, he had this really strong antibody to RHD. So we call it anti-D. And he got that because he is RHD negative. And he, when he was younger, received a transfusion with RHD positive blood. And this is something we will often do if somebody's got an immediate need for blood. And we give them RHD positive blood because that's what we've got available. That's what's best as a match for them. And so they form these antibodies to RHD. And it's really important when...
An antibody does what exactly? Remind me, because I'm getting a vague memory of COVID and what an antibody is. But what does the antibody do?
So antibodies, and it's how our body marks something that's in there as not being supposed to be there. So you're right. When we in COVID, we talked a lot about antibodies to COVID, because that means that your immune system is able to fight off the virus because it's able to mark it as not supposed to be there and get rid of it. And so we've all got antibodies in our system to all the things we've been exposed to over our lives. But from a blood point of view, we would only normally have preformed antibodies to A and B, or both if we're group O. We wouldn't normally have an antibody to RHD. And there are two ways you can get that antibody. One is by having a transfusion with RHD positive blood. And the other, which is obviously much more common, is if you are a woman who is RHD negative, so you don't have that antigen in your body, and you have a baby from with a dad who is RHD positive, so baby's RHD positive, a small quantity of the blood cells from the baby leak into mum's circulation. That's normal. That's what happens during pregnancy. And we know that some women would then form an antibody to that, which can affect babies. And so we started using anti-D back in the 1950s. And if we look back then, about one in 2,000 babies actually died of this RHD incompatibility. It's got a very long name. It's called hemolytic disease of the fetus and newborn. But it was really quite a problem. So one in 2,000 babies was the leading cause of a fetal loss at that point. And then we figured out that if you gave RHD negative women anti-D to prevent the formation of their own antibodies, actually that rate plummeted. And if we look at the latest figures, it's now only about one in 80,000 babies. So it's a massive difference.
So they've taken this anti-D, which is essentially telling the antibodies not to recognize this baby's blood as problematic. Is that right?
So yeah, so actually it's leveraging the immune system to help us. So what we do is we give the anti-D to the pregnant women, which then mops up any of the baby's cells that have entered the circulation before they get a chance to cause a problem for the woman's immune system. So we're leveraging that same mechanism to help get rid of those cells, but before they cause any problems.
Right. Well, when parents go in to see a doctor after they realize that the mum is pregnant and they're expecting, is this like the first thing they do is they check and see whether or not this is a possibility that you may have Rhesus disease?
Absolutely. It's one of the first tests that we do when you book in when you're pregnant. We check the blood group and we look for anything in the blood that might help. We call it an antibody screen. And it will be part of that initial blood tests that mum has done when she comes in for her baby, is to check and see, you know, are we at risk of this? And if there's any antibodies there, that's one thing. But equally, at the same time, we're checking to see if mum is RHD negative, because if she is, then she'll need to get anti-D during that pregnancy.
Right. Okay. So this fella, Harrison, how on earth did he help 2 million babies? Like, there's a case of a woman in the United States, a young black woman who had a certain type of cancer that meant her cells proliferated very violently. Her name was Henrietta Lacks. Her story is amazing. There's a book called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. It's an absolutely incredible story. And she didn't know that these cells were very special, but they were actually harvested and used as a medical test cell, and have been and still are used today. HeLa cells are now used in medicine all over the world, and they all came from this one woman. When it comes to Harrison, how have we managed to get so much anti-D that he's able to help so many babies? Is it a similar sort of situation, or was he just continuously giving donated plasma his entire life?
So he a very, very different situation. So the HeLa cells came from an initial set of biopsies that then have been grown in the lab. But Harrison actually came in every few weeks to donate plasma, because he knew how important that antibody was. And I think that's one of the things that makes this story so phenomenal, is his commitment. And it was all driven by, he had his transfusion when he was young that saved his life. And so he wanted to give something back. And when it was recognized that his plasma was able to help so many babies, he just kept coming back every few weeks for his entire life. And what was really special about him was that antibody in him was a very, very high level, much higher than we would normally see. So it meant that because it was so high, that level of antibody, when we harvested the plasma and we make this into what we call a pooled medicinal product, or a PDMP, there would be the other donors that would have donated at the same time. But they then go on to treat thousands or tens of thousands of women because it's so potent. It's 2 million is probably a really accurate estimate. It's an amazing, amazing story for him.
So are there other people? Because it doesn't sound like that unusual that he got a blood transfusion of this blood when he was younger. Surely that must have happened to at least hundreds of people in Ireland, right? I mean, are there lots of Harrisons out there that are that potentially could do the same thing, or at least could help mothers and babies? Or is there medical solutions to this that we've come up to, that we don't need plasma donations in the same way now?
Quite the opposite, I think. So we think probably about 1 in 100,000 people in Ireland have an anti-D. So not that many. We think also that unfortunately most of the people that have formed an anti-D are excluded from donating blood or plasma, either partly because of the process where that's happened, or because now they're outside of the criteria that we would normally choose. There are probably more people out there, because most people don't get checked for these antibodies on a regular basis.
Really interesting speaking with you, Dr. Andrew Godfrey, Medical and Scientific Director of the Irish Blood Transfusion Service. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jonathan.